You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
So we've had four sermons on prayer, and you've heard four different preachers in 4 weeks on prayer, which has been cool, hey? Four different perspectives. Hey, did you guys didn't forget that I like people yelling at me during my sermon, did you, while I didn't preach for 3 weeks? No. Come on now. Give me some encouragement, all right? Don't forget, all right? Otherwise, next time you'll hear me for 52 weeks straight. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Hey, see? Come on. Thank you. So we had the privilege of prayer. We had the private, personal prayer life. We had the faith-filled prayer. Last week, the prophetic prayer. And I bet you feel inspired to pray, yeah? Like 4 weeks we've been talking about prayer. Today's the fifth week talking about prayer. I bet you feel inspired to pray. But that doesn't mean we're all doing it. See, if statistics are right, about 15% of Christians pray. Now, I'd like to say, because we're a passionate and energetic and enthusiastic church, that we're above that. But I also am fully aware that half our church wasn't even in church at all, you know, 6 months, a year or 2 years ago. And so that may bring us down, and we're probably right at about 15% of you probably pray. Now you're inspired to pray and you want to pray, but there's a disconnect there somewhere, isn't there? And so today I want to talk to you about how to pray. Because I really do believe that nothing disappears as fast in our hearts as the desire to pray. You know, I've had my own sporadic prayer life myself. Now, some of you have looked at Pastor Ed and Jed and Christian and I and thought, man, oh man, oh man, I wish I had their prayer life. Some of you have thought, man, I wish I could pray like they pray. Some of you have heard the word of God over the last few weeks and thought, wow, God, I really want to know you like that. I want to live a life of prayer like these men and women that we've read about in Scripture. And you might have been like me and had a sporadic prayer life. It's only been about the last 6 years, and I've been saved for 23 years. Come on, praise God. It may have been, for me, it's only been about the last 6 years, so not the first 17 years, just 6 years, where I've had what I would call a pretty powerful prayer life, where I believe that I've just been able to speak the Word of God and pray the Word of God and connect with the heart of God, that I've gone from just being saved to having a relationship with Jesus. Come on. And it's been exciting. But then before that, there was 17 years of being in church. Saved, I was going to heaven, my sins were forgiven, but I didn't have as much victory in my life. I'd hear sermons about prayer and be so inspired, but I'd go home and I didn't know what to pray. I did not know how to pray. And as I said before, nothing disappeared out of my heart as fast as the desire to pray. Because I'd come out of a sermon or out of a camp or out of a conference or out of a moment or out of an article passionate about prayer, about pursuing my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But when I didn't know how to pray, where to start or what to say, I get discouraged and that passion disappears. And I'm sure that many of you feel the same. I didn't share that 15% statistic to make you all feel depressed and useless. I share it with you to make you understand that you're not alone. But that imagine if you're not alone. See, that big group of you, imagine if you band together and became people who did pray. Can you imagine the influence the kingdom of God would have in Des Moines? So when we don't know how to pray and we don't know what to say, that desire disappears. Sometimes all gone but for a whim. So that's why we're staying here, stoking the fire of prayer in our hearts. Over and over and over and over again. That's why we didn't just do, hey, there's 52 sermons a year, we better give one to prayer, like some token gesture. But understand that not praying in your life is like trying to exist underwater and trying to breathe. It doesn't work. By the time we're finished talking about prayer, you will have heard 5 different people preach on prayer in 9 messages. Come on. Yeah. You've got me again next week. So you have me this week. You've got me next week. Now, can I say one thing about this? Look around the room. Church isn't empty. and we've gone against the Midwestern rule. The Midwestern rule of where your lead pastor has to preach every week because no one's coming to church if he doesn't preach, right? But come on, we understand something here about the anointing and the giftings of God, don't we? Right? We understand something about the importance of gathering together, don't we, right? And so when we do that, we have 3 weeks where the lead pastor doesn't even preach and boom, church is still good and growing, amen? Because it's not about a man, it's about a gift. It's about the anointing, it's about Jesus Christ. And so you've got me this week, me next week. Then we have a very special guest, Pastor Jane Evans. If you remember, Pastor Ashley Evans came and spoke at Forward Conference last year. You remember him? Well, we've got his lovely wife, Pastor Jane Evans. She's coming and preaching for us on February 14th, and you do not want to miss her because, wow, that lady can preach. When I was in Bible college, I didn't have any prejudice against lady preachers or anything like that, but I hadn't heard any before and kind of assumed that they mustn't do that because I hadn't heard any. You know, no one told me they can't. I just grew up in a small town, and even then, I don't think that lead pastor had anything against women preachers. He just hadn't had any. So I go to Bible college. I'm at this great big church of thousands of people. It just so happened to be Pastor Ashley and Pastor Jane's church. And then one Sunday, not long after I got there, she preached, and I was blown away. Not blown away because, wow, ladies can preach, but blown away by the gift of God on her life. And I want to tell you, it's going to rock your world on February 14th, not next week, the week after. So don't miss it. I'm breaking the rules. I'm telling you that I'm not preaching that week, but I think that you know when the anointing of God is in the place, something happens, amen? And she's got a word from God, a fresh word from God about prayer for our church. So be there. And then after that, after Pastor Jane, we're taking a 2-week break from the prayer series so we can hit it again 2 more times after that. And I believe that as you embrace the need to pray, as you embrace the power of prayer this year, it will be the best year yet. Amen? The best year yet. Not the best year you'll ever have, because that'll be the last one. Because when we're serving God all our lives, the best is yet to come. Amen? But right now, I want you to close your eyes and imagine something for me. Close your eyes. Come on. Close your eyes and imagine yourself. Remember what we preached a few weeks ago about that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. And the implication is that we're imagining what God can do in our lives. That we're using this God-given imagination to imagine the greatness of God in our lives. Amen? So I want you to imagine for a moment what your life would be like if you had a powerful prayer life. Maybe you don't wake up early, maybe you do it later, but for the sake of how I do it, imagine yourself waking up early to pray. Imagine seeing God actually answer your prayers because you've actually prayed your prayers. Imagine hearing the Spirit of God leading you, telling you what to pray, who to pray for, and what to do. Imagine walking into a situation that's in utter chaos, but you bring peace because you bring the Prince of Peace with you. You walk in and pray. Not a prayer that changes culture just because you prayed that one time. But because you are so in tune with the Spirit of God from having a powerful prayer life that when you pray in there, the atmosphere changes. The chaos all gets in order and that person's life and situation comes into order in Jesus' name because you live a life in prayer. Imagine the people who will be saved as a result of your prayers. Come on, imagine it. Imagine the people in your family, in your workplace, your friends that are going to get saved because you pray. Imagine the business blessings that you get because you dared to ask. Imagine the pain that you're able to endure because you have prayer. And imagine the pain that you can avoid because you pray. You see, I want you to open your eyes because I want you to know something. I want our church to be a church of prayer. Not because I want it, but because I know that's what the Lord has called our church to be. Just that, a church of prayer. Amen? See, I want you to pray in your private time with God every day over the Word of God. See, I want you to pray with your family at meals and in family devotions. I want husbands to pray with wives and wives to pray with husbands. I want you to pray with your roommates and your friends. I want you to pray in your small groups and when you go out for lunch and dinners and when you just meet someone for coffee. And I'm not talking about grace. Lord God, thanks for this food. Amen. And I am grateful for food. I love the food, all right? Come on now. Yeah, that'll preach. That'll preach good, especially if it's a steak. Sorry, I'm just not a vegetarian. I honor, respect, and admire the quality you must have to be that. The self-restraint not to eat a steak. But I, my friend, do not have that discipline, and I eat steak every time I see it. And so you pray for food, but wouldn't it be great if when you leave someone, whether it was just an encounter, whether it was whatever he asked, that even if it just be, Lord God, I pray your face would shine upon them in Jesus' name and that they would have peace. Amen. Even if it would just be that, wouldn't it be great if no matter who comes into contact with you, they're leaving with a blessing. Amen. Come on, blessing. Sorry, I went Australian and shortened that to blessing. Someone say blessing. Blessing. That's right, blessing. Everyone should leave you with a blessing. Pray in stated times each morning. We pray in church, pray in worship services, and all the hundreds of prayers that we give to the Lord all day as we walk by the Spirit and breathe out our dependence on God, and He breathes into us grace and faith and life and hope and joy. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to 1 Chronicles 4:10? I want to show you something that I really do believe will bring a revolution to your prayer life. Are you ready? Are you ready? When you got it, say, got it. See, if you don't know how to pray, I want you to learn to pray Scripture. If you're an old wizard at praying, I want you to find great depth, purpose, power, and meaning in praying Scripture also. So in a moment, I'll show you what I mean, but first follow with me to Chronicles 4:10. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Is that cool or what? And God, I love that little line. It's simple. Boom. And God granted his request. You know, there's like two verses in Scripture that we hear about Jabez, and that is it. Two verses. Two entire verses, and that's all we hear about Jabez. This guy here that God granted such a broad and great request in his life. He's a virtual nobody in biblical history. But if you were going to get a two-verse biography, you'd want it to say this, right? Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "I bore him with pain." Jabez's name means pain. Someone say pain. Feel the pain. That's right. Jabez, his name meant pain. It didn't mean I bore him with pain. The word Jabez, she named him Jabez because she bore him with pain. And every time she looked at him, she wanted to remember that he is pain. Come on, that's the truth. Jabez means pain. So pain prays a prayer to the God of Israel saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted his request. So Jabez, which means pain, the guy named Pain prays that God would spare him from pain. Come on. Pain is praying that he wouldn't have any pain. That's like a guy named Stupid saying, "God, make me smart." Right? It's like a guy named Moron saying, "God, make me good." It's like a loner. "God, my name is Loner. Would you give me friends?" Like a guy named Foolish saying, "God, would you make me wise?" Come on now. I don't know what you've been called. I don't know what people say about you. I don't know what the labels that have been put on your life are. Good grief, Jabez's mum called him pain. Come on. You got mummy issues? She called him pain. It's like being called pain in the. That's his name. What have you been called? What have people labeled you? What has the devil made you believe about yourself? What have people said to you? That after, at first it was like water off a duck's back. It didn't bother you. It was just on, off, gone, water off a duck's back. But now after years and years and years and years, you've begun to own it. You're like, maybe I am a fool. Maybe I am fat. Maybe I am ugly. Maybe I am useless. There was also a guy in the New Testament whose name was Useless. And Paul prayed, I pray that maybe Onesimus, which means useless, might become useful to you. Come on. This happens over and over again in the Word of God. Someone who was this becomes the very thing that God called them to be instead. Amen. So useless becomes useful and pain becomes pain-free. Amen. And I don't know what you've been called, but if it wasn't from God, it's not who you are. If it wasn't from God, it's not who you have to be. Don't let what the world has named you dictate what you are. And don't let what the world has said about you dictate the faith you can have in your prayers. Instead, ask God to make you. Jabez prayed for the following things in that prayer. Bless me. Why wouldn't you pray that? Why wouldn't you ask God to bless me? Right? Come on, if you don't know what to pray, there's a start. Do good things to me, God. Amen. Jabez says, God bless me. God bless me. Enlarge my territory, my influence. Come on now. Give me influence over a greater area. Come on, that's my prayer for our church. God bless our church. Enlarge our influence. God be with me, he prays. Keep me from harm and pain. And God granted some of those things, but some things were too much for him. No, come on, it says, and God granted his entire request. Amen. So God blessed him, enlarged his territory and influence. God was with him all the days of his life, and God kept him from harm, and he became pain-free. What would happen if you prayed the prayer of Jabez every day for the rest of your life? If you wake up in the morning and you said, oh God, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. God, please grant my request. If you prayed that every day, do you think God might do something in your life? Come on now, pray that prayer of Jabez. I want to challenge you to pray that prayer of Jabez in your life over and over and over and over. I have heard men from all different walks of life, all different spectrums of Christendom, different theories in Christian faith. I'm not talking about ones who aren't Christians, but Christians, and many Christians have different ideas about different things, right? But they're still saved, praise God. But I have heard Catholics talk about praying the prayer of Jabez over your life. And I have heard John Piper talk about praying the prayer of Jabez over their life, and Mark Driscoll and Brian Houston and Judah Smith and the guy at Elevation Church, Stephen Furtick, and all these different people. It is agreed by everybody that if you pray prayers that line up with Scripture, God will act in Jesus' name. So I want to pray a prayer like that over my life, over my family. Bless me. Bless us. Enlarge our territory. Be with us every day and keep us from harm and from pain. I want to talk to you about praying Scripture. And the power that comes when we pray Scripture in our lives. Scripture's true. Scripture's pure. Scripture's good. Scripture's from the very breath of God. So if it's all those things, we know for sure it lines up with the will of God and it's His desire. And so we pray Scripture, we find ourselves immediately in line with the Word of God, and God responds. Now, we don't only have to pray Scripture, but if you're new to prayer and you don't know what to pray, come on, start here. I still start with praying scripture and other written prayers that then boost and lift my faith so that I can spend a few more moments or minutes in prayer of just free prayer for whatever God's put on my heart. It always starts here, though. It builds my faith. It sets my spirit in tune with the Spirit of God. And I know I'm praying the things of God. Amen? So if I was to pray, for example, this is very practical day to day. If I was to pray over my kids, since today some parents are dedicating their kids, I thought, let's use this example. And I have kids. So if I was to pray over my kids, maybe that God would bless him and keep him, I might go to Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, I might pray that like this, Lord God, bless and keep my kids today. I pray that your face would shine on them and be gracious to them. Lord, turn your face towards them and give them peace in Jesus' name. Or if it was just for one kid, I might say, Lord, bless and keep Judah today. I pray that your face would shine on him and be gracious to him. Lord, turn your face towards my boy and give him peace. Come on, is there a greater prayer to pray than a prayer filled with scripture? Come on. So what do I know before I even pray that God is listening and that is what God wants? And then I'm speaking it. I'm returning the word of God back to him in faith. Maybe I want to pray that their light would shine. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that you may see, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16, I might pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that my kids' light would shine before others, that they may see your good deeds in them and glorify you in heaven. Amen. Come on, is this good stuff? Is this good stuff? Amen. What if I wanted to pray for their anxiety? One of my kids, Eli, can just get a little anxious. Just ran. He's like this bull. He's like a bull in a china shop. He's nuts until he's not. And then he's just like, he can get anxious about things and start to stutter and start to worry. And so I need to pray a prayer. So if I was going to pray this prayer over Eli, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I might pray, Father, help Eli not to be anxious about everything, about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving in his heart, God, help him to remember to present his requests to you. Does that sound like a good prayer? Come on. And maybe we want to pray that they will know that he's with them when they go to school. Your six-year-old needs to know that God went to school with him today. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. I might pray, God, make my kids strong and courageous. Do not let them be afraid or terrified, for you, our Lord, go with them, and you will never leave them nor forsake them. But you know what? I could pray that for me regarding my kids going to school too. If your kid's first day of school, maybe your kids are going to college in a couple of months and it's freaking you out. Man, my kids, I got like 12 years and it's freaking me out. Help me to be strong and courageous, Lord God. Do not let me be afraid or terrified because of my kids, because I know the world is big. I know there are bad people out there, but Lord, don't let me be afraid, for I know you're a bigger, stronger, mightier. And I know, God, that you go with them and you'll never leave them or forsake them. Come on, amen? Good prayers, amen? Good prayers. You see how powerful that is when we return the word of God back to him in our prayers? Can you see how that would then set you up? You notice that last one, I added more stuff. Did you notice that? Because I've been praying. I'm starting to get a feel for the mighty power of God. And by the end of it, I'm like, hey, I know this. I know that. This is coming against me. But this says, I know you are strong and mighty and great and powerful. Holy Spirit, help me to know you go with my kids. See, we know he agrees with it. We know it's good for us. We know it lines up, lines right up right with the Word of God. And we ask. See, prayer sustains your faith and brings heaven to earth. Can I get the band to come back up? So don't ever think that since God is the keeper of my soul and I am eternally secure, and that is true, you're okay. You have a relationship with Jesus. You are saved and you will go to heaven. Praise God. But don't ever think that means you don't need to be vigilant and pray for perseverance, for blessing, and for help right now here on earth. See, that would be like saying, since God is the giver and sustainer of life, I don't need to breathe. Now, we know God is the giver and sustainer of life, don't we? But we know God gave us breath and we breathe. You see, you can't then say, well, I'll just spend half an hour or 3 hours underwater without any form of oxygen take and it won't matter because God is the giver and sustainer of life. It matters and you'll drown. It's true. God's means of sustaining life is not just the gift of life, but the gift of breath that sustains it. Acts 17:25 says that. Same with our prayer. See, without prayer, don't be surprised if you find yourself unable to swim, sinking, and drowning. You need to pray. This is the bit I can't make any clearer, church. You will drown if you never pray. You need to pray. And it's not because God's up there saying, sucker, I'm going to drown you for not praying. It's because God's up there saying, just reach out, just reach out, just reach out. I'm right here. Come on, just put your hand up and I'll grab it. Come on. He's not punishing you, but he's a gentleman, free will. Come on now. He's saying, just reach out, just grab my hand. I will tell you, and it sounds harsh and I don't like being harsh, but you will not experience the fullness of the victory, the victorious life that Christ died to give you until you learn to pray. The fullness of the victorious life. You need to pray. We must pray. Prayer is utterly crucial to your life. Jesus said in Luke 21, keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Come on, I want to escape some trials in my life. I really do. Come on, I'm glad I want God to sustain me through the ones I go through. But I'd like to escape a few. Anyone else? Come on, pray. Pray. Pray that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and that you may stand with the Son of Man. Now, I apologize that I don't have handouts for you today. I was going to have handouts of scriptures you can pray, but there's two reasons why we don't have that. Number one, I'm going to make the sermon notes available on the website this afternoon sometime. So by the end of the evening, you'll be able to go to myeternitydm.com or www.myeternitydm.com and the sermon notes will be on there and you'll be able to read through those. The other reason is I want you to read the Word of God. I want you to find the truths of God in there yourself. I don't want you just to have handouts. And we'll make them one day, maybe in the next few weeks or months. And there'll be some sort of booklet that you'll have for these moments and that moment and when to pray and how and what. But you know what? Come on, right now, let's go and search the scriptures. Let's read the Word of God and find out how good He is and ask Him to do that in your life. Amen. The Word of God is full of wonderful promises and great words of truth for you. So pray. John 11:4 says, when he heard this, Jesus said, you ready? Come on, everyone stand up with me. John 11:4 says this. This is Jesus. And talk about something that you can take home and declare over your life. Are you ready for it? When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Through what? Through the life and healing in it. Come on, come on! Someone say, "This will not end in death." Come on, you know, you can pray that over a sickness. You can pray that over a situation. This situation will not end in death. Come on. This will end in life and God's glory. I prayed this prayer for a friend's kid many times this week and last week. Because God's word is full of great things. Read it, know it, pray it, experience its fullness in your life. We're going to have a time at the altar now. And if any of you need prayer for anything, whatever you're going through in your life, sickness, struggle, pain, relationship struggles, if you have something that you need God to do, it's time to stop drowning for lack of asking. Just reach out and ask God to help. So if you need prayer today, come on down here. Myself and the team will pray for you in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship Him.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.